Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, here we go. Illinois basketball suffers a loss in its first Big Ten game. Jeremy Warner back at the home base here in Illinois. Derek Piper out on the East Coast at the Xfinity Center, which has been a house of horrors for Brad Underwood. Illinois under Brad Underwood now 0-3 at College Park. Derek, I was at College Park last year when Illinois lost. I think that was the Kofi concussion? He was out game?
He was out, yep.
Yeah, and they just got run. It wasn't too big of a surprise. It was a bad performance, but it was not a good atmosphere. Like, the fans were out. You know, they had an interim coach after Mark Turgeon resigned. The fan base wasn't into it. Boy, they're into their Terps, and they should be, because Kevin Willard has this program back, has a few good pieces, but Jameer Young, what a performance for him, 24 points, including the dagger. That was a heck of a basketball game and a heck of an atmosphere, it seemed like, Derek.
It really was. Kickoff Big Ten play, it was a high level, and this place is – I mean, it's a great basketball program, a lot of tradition. You got Gary Williams sideline. It's their annual Gold Rush game. Scott Van Pelt in the house. It was – and a 9 p.m. local start. So, on a Friday night, it was jumping as expected. And they should be excited, because you and I circle back. You and I high on this Terps team going into the year. I feel like it wasn't high enough. I feel like I should have been more bold and ballsy and put them in my top five in the Big Ten, because they had that potential. Now, it's still very early, but they got a great starting five. Jameer Young was a huge addition, the local product. Just down the road, DeMatha. But then to be able to get him from Charlotte, he's a good scorer, you know, putting up 19, 20 a game at Charlotte last year. And to throw him in the mix with Scott, with Reese, who didn't do a whole lot against Illinois, but Hakeem Hart, I think that's, again, a name that's just a really good role player and brings it to both ends of the floor, made some big threes. And I was most surprised with Illinois' defense in this first half. Like, they just got toasted. A team that was ninth in the country in defensive efficiency coming in here. But I think, in general, the fight that Illinois showed in the second half, the response, Shannon literally bleeding from his face and being able to gut that thing out. I mean, they're going to be in a lot of ball games. But, yeah, this has been a tough spot. I can see the place where Anthony Cowan buried the 30-plus footer, you know, to end that game back in 2019. And just a few feet to the – it would be to the left. That's where Jameer Young had a huge one. So, a tough one for Illinois, tough place for Brad Underwood. And this is a good Maryland team.
Brad Underwood said in the post-game press conference, he remembers 2019 game, and he said somebody was suspended after it. I don't even remember that game well enough, Derek. Do you know what he was talking about?
I honestly didn't. No, I was here. I remember Illinois was up early in the first half and was putting it to Maryland, but let them slowly but surely work their way back, and Cowan was really good, and Illinois was – that was before the breakthrough. That was early in the Big Ten schedule, and they just ultimately couldn't close it. They let it slip through their hands. I was a freshman year. Kofi, Kofi, sophomore Io. It the signs of them competing in that game in this building was an indication of what was to come. But yeah, it was just another one of those tough, gut-wrenching losses.
Derek, there were a lot of positives here. The second half defense, you said it, first half was awful. Second half, 8 for 22 for Maryland. The free throws really came back and hurt Illinois. We'll get into maybe some questionable foul calls, but I thought they did a pretty good job on Dante Scott. I mean, 12 points on 13 field goal attempts. He had some great passes to Keem Hart, but the veterans were really good. I mean, Terrence Shannon coming back from that massive cut, like, Illinois was probably lucky that Julian Reese got a foul, because it was Dane pushing it into him. But to come back and play the way he did down the stretch, Coleman Hawkins has been phenomenal the last couple of games. Not as efficient scoring the ball today, but he carried them for the first half. And then RJ Melendez with a big second half. But what this game came down to, right, was one team had freshman guards, the other team had Jameer Young. I don't think Donald Carey played very well, 5 points on 6 field goals. But this is kind of the script you and I aren't surprised about. You wrote in your prediction this could kind of be the case because this is what we expected from this team early on is they need experience. It's the one thing they're missing, especially at that guard position. And Sky Clark played 31 minutes, 6 points. Jaden Epps, 2 points in 10 minutes tonight. Ty Rogers, non-existent. Sincere Harris looked like he was gimpy 5 minutes tonight. They rely so much on freshmen, they can't have that.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that down the stretch it would show the fact that Illinois had an inexperience and Maryland, one of the older teams out there in the country, and the fact of Jameer Young giving them 24 points, only one turnover, and Sky and Epps together, 8 points, four turnovers, and Epps in foul trouble. Sky had some turnovers of his own, obviously factoring into that. But, it's kind of what I ultimately expected. Illinois has the talent. Those are talented dudes to play with anybody. Like, as far as you're going to see Texas on Tuesday, and that's a game they can, you know, they're capable of winning if they play well enough. And some of the guys you mentioned as far as veterans are a big reason why. But you're talking about a group that, for as successful as Brad's been on the road here recently, I mean, the previous two seasons, 15-5 in Big Ten play on the road is a key factor in being able to win Big Ten titles. But these guys haven't done that. And to play in this raucous environment, have Jaden Epps take some shots late. I know they wanted 2-for-1. At first, when Jaden took that shot, you know, it was early in the clock, but he was open. They were thinking 2-for-1. And Brad said he said in the post game, he wants him to shoot that every time. But to have Jaden not to be able to get in a rhythm and to have the fouls, and Sky even having fouls when he gets switched on a big down low in the mid post, it was a situation of some young youth being able to hurt Illinois and Maryland just having those vets that were more rock solid. And obviously Jameer had the game of his season so far.
Yeah. I know there are only a few Illinois writers there. I think it was you, Andy Olson, and Larry that were there.
Yep.
So I know you didn't get many opportunities to ask questions. It was a short press conference. But I was really curious why Sky Clark, after he hits a big three with 4 minutes left, is subbed out at 3 minutes. And Jaden Epps, who'd played 7 minutes, I believe, at that point in the game, not in a rhythm. Sky looked like he was in a rhythm. So I was curious of why he made that move because, you know, Jaden Epps, that shot, it was an open shot. I still would have, like, I get the 2-for-1, but I would have liked Terrence Shannon or Coleman Hawkins to touch the ball with the way they were playing. And maybe if RJ Melendez or Dane Danger makes a field goal, you're fine with it. But I think they wanted Epps to shoot that shot, and he did. But I just thought Jaden was 0-for-3 in the final 3 minutes. I wonder how that game would have gone if Sky Clark were in the game. It's nothing against Jaden because we've seen him, you know, be big and hit some big shots. But I just thought it was an interesting decision by Underwood.
Yeah, that's a good call. I don't know. I only got a chance to ask 2 questions in the post game, and that was it for Underwood. So we didn't get an explanation on that. But as far as trying to find an answer for him, I would say, you know, Epps is quicker than Sky. So maybe defensively that was something he was thinking with Jameer Young. But, yes, for Sky to hit what was a huge three to tie the game and then to pull him and not insert him back into the game down the stretch where maybe if Sky gets that same look, maybe it goes in. Maybe it's a different story. So that's one that I think fans are and yourself are very fair in asking that questions. I don't know. I'm not sure. Didn't get an answer on that. I'm sure maybe a follow-up when Brad talks to the media again, we'll be able to circle back and bring that up. But that was something that was a key moment in the game, and Illinois wasn't able to execute. And then, of course, Jameer gets the three to be the dagger.
Yeah, and they were bringing it up on the BTM post game, and Michael Tuop texted me it as well. Terrence going under that screen in that moment, that hurt. And Brad brought up that he should have taken Dane off the court so that they could switch everything because that was bothering them in the second half. I know in the first half people were upset about the switching because, you know, they were finding so many open shots, especially Akeem Hart. But I thought it was really bothering Maryland in the half court. It seemed like Illinois backed off the pressure a little bit and just guarded in the half court. And they were great. And then Jameer Young, of course, great play. But Shannon going under the screen gave him a little bit of room there.
Yeah, and then when you switch, you have to you have to double, and Illinois kind of got caught in between sometimes, where, like, the weak side was trying to come over and help in the lane, but it didn't get there quick enough. And then the corner where Hakeem Hart's already rolling, getting those threes, and they just had some defensive breakdowns, and that was really evident in the first half. Second half was much better, but for Shannon to go under that screen, and I get it. I think late in the game to try to get Coleman, because Coleman had played so well off the dribble, getting to the rim early in the game, hit some threes. I know he was taking some shots late, that because once it was evident that Terrence airballed two threes and he wasn't quite right with his eye, and the crowd was all over him for those shots, but that wasn't going to be probably an answer to shoot that three. But you just wish that down the stretch Illinois could have executed better. And the same could have been said for the Virginia game. I mean, we're talking about the difference where Illinois is up on Virginia, 3.5 to go. Illinois tied with like 3 to go here. And that's the difference between winning and losing. But you can learn from that for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously the players get experience doing it. Is there anything, if you're the coaching staff now, that you figured out with two of these end of game situations that haven't gone your way? And I want to bring this up big picture. I don't think anybody's panicking over these two losses to really good teams away from home, and you're in close games. Like, I think most people are encouraged about this team, but is there any adjustment you think that needs to be made, or is it just, hey, they need experience figuring this out and they'll do better next time?
Yeah, I think it is just being in those moments, but I think that in both situations, both Virginia and Maryland, you could say that maybe they didn't know where to go with the ball late in the game, or just they didn't have something to dial up to say, okay, you know, we knew when Io was here, and you're not going to always have an Io, but Terrence is a pretty darn good player, that, hey, we're going to put Io in a ball screen, we're going to get him downhill, let him make a decision. It feels like the Virginia game when Terrence was having a rough afternoon, and they didn't know maybe what that pivot was. And tonight with Terrence not shooting the three, and I think they were just caught in a situation where they didn't know maybe exactly what they wanted to do. And that's still – they're coming up with their identity, their late-game identity, what's going to – be things that work when they're going to try to stop Shannon, what's going to come open. And I think part of that is still figuring out, like, the fact of the decision to play Sky or Jaden later, or do you play both of them? Do you play Dane or not? Like, there are just different ways you can shape your late game lineups. And I think that Brad is understandably still learning that stuff. And and some of it's just, you know, it has to play itself out late. Sometimes it works for you and sometimes it doesn't. And for Illinois to still be trying to figure some things out and just come up just short as an inexperienced team isn't totally surprising.
I want to talk about some positives. RJ Melendez in the first half, Derek, had 0 rebounds. We could talk about the points he scored, which are big, 8 of his 13. He had 7 rebounds in the second half. There were some – I hate using this sometimes with players. There were some times that – I know it gets on him for what he calls soft plays. He got after it in the second half. So I wonder what was said at halftime to RJ Melendez. He was fantastic. We talked about Coleman. Terrence, they were just tougher. They were their tougher team, I thought, in the second half. Made some big mistakes late, didn't make the shots, but that was encouraging to see, to come back from 11 down because you were the tougher team. Like, that was impressive in that environment.
Yeah, I don't know what the offensive rebound splits were. Ultimately, I know Maryland was getting after it on the glass, had at least 6 or 7 there in the first half.
Yeah, it was 13. Illinois had offensive rebounds. Maryland had 10. Illinois had, let me get it, second chance points, 17-7.
Yeah. Where Maryland was going there in the first half, where number one, they weren't missing very much. And then when they did, I think halftime, they had gotten back half of their misses. And it seemed like Maryland just had that extra edge and energy to get to win a lot of those effort plays in the first half, and Illinois was able to flip that switch. And really, when they were on the ropes down 10 and Terrence is on the bench getting looked at with his eye and bleeding, it looked like they could get blown off the floor. But that was kind of an inspiring thing for this team to fight even harder, to make sure they were getting stops. And I think RJ going to the glass was a good thing. I mean, you look ultimately offensive rebounds. Like Terrence, while he didn't shoot it well after coming back in, he kept getting those tip-ins. He was just all around the basket as far as activity. He had 4 offensive rebounds. Coleman had 4. So that was a team that definitely showed grit and fight. I mean, the execution is still needing to be improved. I think it will come with time, and you can't have a substitute for experience when it comes to the freshman guards. But in terms of the toughness and resiliency, I mean, those are the things that you like to see early on of this team.
This team plays hard. They play incredibly hard. And to come back from a 17-2 run, like, that could have been a full time in the first half. And then to come back and do that, and then do it again in the second half. I love that resilience from this team.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They needed Matthew Meyer tonight in 4 fouls in 14 minutes. Just didn't play, never got into a rhythm. Man, it's just, you're still waiting. I know UCLA was good. He's done some good things. You're still waiting for that real, maybe UCLA was one of them, but that real breakout, because with the freshmen struggling, Ty Rogers really struggling. I thought Dane was fine tonight, good, but you really could have used Matthew Meyer. And some of those calls, I know, went against Illinois at some points. Like, I thought the RJ Melendez, that was definitely a block on Martinez. That was certainly a block. There were some bad calls at certain points in this game.
Epps' second foul, which was called an offensive foul, was a really bad call. And,
yeah, there's another one in the second half I'm forgetting. But some calls went against them. But, man, Meyer, they needed him on the court tonight.
They did, and I know that I didn't get to see a ton of replays as far as his fouls. I do think the physicality, because Maryland's a really, really tough, gritty, physical team, maybe bothered Meyer a little bit, or just he couldn't match that as far as what he could do. I mean, it's a guy that played almost 15 minutes, and outside of that steal and breakaway score where he misses but gets his own rebound and puts it in, I mean, he just didn't do a whole lot and never got in a rhythm and foul trouble. He had two there in the first half and just couldn't get going.
Yeah, the other one was Dane Danger getting called for an offensive foul because of Dante Scott's acting performance. That should have been a no call, just play on. But yeah, those went against him. I thought Underwood was going to get a T at some point. You saw it in person, Derek. Was he about to get one?
Oh yeah, he was on tech watch, and it was 6-1 as far as fouls there in the second half, and he was ranting and raving, and then something got thrown from the student section over by the bench, and that kind of bothered some people. And
it was a pretzel, yeah. Derek. It was a pretzel.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, I don't know if that was Wagner throwing it from.
Did it have cheese on it or no?
Yeah, Wagner's a big soft pretzel guy, so I don't think he appreciates somebody, you know, wasting away a soft pretzel. Don't know if it was a good one or a bad one. But that was tough. There were some tough calls against Illinois, but in the end, I thought. A couple of them, Terrence Shannon, you know, had to travel, you know, and they gave him some free throws. In the end, it did make an impact, but I'm not going to harp too much on that today because there were some moments, man. They had the chance to win this game.
Yeah, they definitely did. And you kind of account for some of that when you're on the road and you're in a big-time environment, that the 50-50 calls are something as far as the emotional, like the refs sometimes playing to the emotion in the building. I think that you're going to expect that you're going to get some of those back when you're in your building. And on this night, there were a few that you didn't like.
So Illinois has 2 losses through 8 games, Derek, and I am so encouraged about this team, right? Like, the fact that they beat UCLA is one, but the fact that it comes down to late game execution in both these games against veteran teams. Like, that's not a surprise that Virginia was the better team in the closing minutes of a high-pressure game, or that Maryland at home with a transfer guard who's been a bucket getter at Charlotte the last couple of years had a better end to this game. But this team's really talented. They're really good. They have toughness. They just got to figure this out. Like, this is going to script for me of what I thought this season would be. Win one of these, you know, high – you know, pressure games, show that you can compete with these teams, but you're going to take some lumps and have some learning experiences. So I feel like my big thesis of all of this, Derek, is probably that we're viewing this all differently now, because this could hurt in a Big Ten championship run. But you had a Big Ten championship. Like, this is all about getting up for March, right? So if you're a 5 seed or a 3 seed, I don't think anybody cares. It's about how do you learn from these experiences to help pay off in March? Because this team's going to be in the NCAA tournament. They're too talented. They're too good not to be. So it's about how do you set yourself up? How do you learn from all of these experiences once it really matters?
Yeah, and I think that the staff and everybody associated with this program understands that it was going to be a growth process of having to click together, of having the freshmen get experienced in the early part of the schedule and knowing how much you're going to be challenged. And also, I mean, you look at the roster construction. Like, it was constructed for March. It was constructed for what's working in the NCAA tournament, and that's what the goal is. Not to say they don't want to be the back-to-back Big Ten champions and put up another banner and everything, but the big goal is to go on that deep run and to be in position to have that happen late in the season, which they certainly have the talent to do so, the athleticism, the length, the skill, the things that go into it. There's still a ton that needs to be worked out and still needs to click for this team and mesh. But I think that all in all, I would still say they're ahead of the curve as far as what I would expect, just where some of the recent examples as far as parallels, comparable teams. I mean, it's easy to just pull up Michigan last year and look at them going to Vegas and playing Arizona and losing by 20 versus Illinois, how they beat UCLA, how they competed against Virginia. That same Michigan team early in the Big Ten schedule lost at home to Minnesota. Now Illinois's got to make sure they don't lose at home to Penn State.
Yeah.
But this type of performance, I think Maryland is well suited to obviously compete early on with their experience. And this was a high-level basketball game. Like, Maryland's got a chance to make some real noise, not only in the league, but maybe in the postseason as well. But another thing, as far as going back to the offseason, like, I wouldn't have expected Matthew Meyer to be in this spot. Like, I know that with the back injury and everything, you just wouldn't have factored in like how much he's been struggling or not been that guy in comparison to Baylor. And the fact that Illinois is still in these games and has already beaten UCLA and could have very well won tonight in Virginia, and to not have Matthew Meyer look like one of the best transfers in the country, like, that would have been somewhat surprising how much he's supposed to mean to this team.
Yeah, can I say this too? I know he's a freshman, but Ty Rogers is not really giving you anything, right?
No.
Like I want to give him a reprieve because he's a freshman, but the thing was is he did all these things that most freshmen don't do and that he could help you. Like, he's obviously right now a zero, mostly on offense. I know Syracuse, he had some nice plays in that zone, which was a solid game for him. But really, in the big games, UCLA, Virginia, Maryland, he has not really made an impact. So the fact that those two are not doing that right now and you're still a really good basketball team is almost encouraging, but you do need those guys at some point to start really, really contributing here.
Starting with Tuesday, right? I mean, Texas is really, really good, really athletic, another team that can be physical. And, Matt, as far as a veteran that's been there before, it's a broken record. But certainly you still – nothing's changed as far as those guys' talent. I mean, Ty was on Team USA for a reason. I think it's a little surprising because – I would have pinpointed him as the most college-ready of any of these freshmen coming in because of that experience, because of his physicality and everything. But it's taken a while. And, offensively, he's not much of an asset. They haven't asked him to do a ton as far as, like, facilitating and stuff like that, because back in the summer, it was like, oh, he could play some point guard at times. You haven't seen any of that. I think it's shown that he's a little tentative offensively and limited as far as his jump shot. And defensively, he didn't foul tonight, but he's kind of had a – I wondered how he'd do against Scott, but Scott didn't go off like crazy. But, Ty's still got to click and figure it out, still pretty early. But and then also same for Matthew Meyer. But I think on the flip side of that, like what Dane – it took a while for Dane to really settle in, but tonight, once he got going, he was really good. And then I know we've seen Sky and Jaden have their moments. I think maybe in the back of some people's minds, like after seeing tonight, is like, will inexperienced point guard play ultimately kill you and it matters down the stretch? Maybe, maybe not. Those guys are really talented. There's a lot of basketball left to be played before your season's on the line.
Yeah, it took Malachi Branham a little while to get going in that position. I'm not saying either of those guys will be that good, but it takes some time at this level. Yeah, like Meyer and Rogers, maybe not as good as you thought early, but Shannon, Danger, and Epps, I think, have been better than expected. Yes. And I just can't say enough about Coleman Hawkins the last couple games there. I just want to shout him out again because I just thought he carried you in the first half. And defensively, man, he is just an animal around the rim. And I think Danger, too. Like, I don't know if we talk enough about his defense, what he does on that end of the floor. He needs to cut down the turnovers a little bit, mostly offensive fouls. But those two defensively, Derek, give Illinois so much at the rim. And I know you wrote about it this week.
Yeah, 7 blocks tonight. Their 2-point field goal defense has been awesome. Coleman, obviously, with his switchability, his length, his activity, the way he just came out, it was like shot out of a cannon tonight. And it was just the rolling momentum of triple-double Syracuse and just super confident Coleman Hawkins. They needed him to be as aggressive as he was offensively, taking a couple deep threes in the first half, getting to the rim off the bounce. It was almost like Coleman couldn't take enough shots because of Terrence was – slow to get going. I know Akeem Hart being on him was part of that. Yeah. But yeah, I think Dane with the 7'7" wingspan and a guy that has a knack for swiping at the ball and also can go straight up. We know that he's strong enough to be physical there down in the post. And I mean, Julian Reis didn't have a marquee game by any means against your front line. So it's been more as far as figuring out defensively how they've been really good on the whole. It's kind of understanding your rotations and being solid in those. And I think switches is an interesting I understand why some people are mad – or not mad, but wondering, are you switching too much? Are you switching into mismatches? How do you combat that when Sky's on a big man or and that just puts you kind of in that spin cycle – as a defense. That's something they got to figure out, but still pretty early, and those are things to address.
Still early in this project, right? It's still early in this project, but, man, the tests don't get any easier. Number 2 Texas, Derek, Joey Wagner and I will meet you out there in NYC. I saw them play last night, Creighton. I thought Nembhard was great in that comeback, but, boy, Texas has bucket getters. They got length, they got athleticism, and they got depth. This is the best roster, for sure, that Illinois has played all season.
Yeah, definitely. And we know very well the guard play, Marcus Carr, Tyrese Hunter from Iowa State, and Carr had a great game against Creighton. I know that it wasn't the best shooting game from Texas. Maybe that's one thing that if you're going to try to poke a hole in their team or their resume, it's maybe they're not the best shot-making team from the perimeter, but they're going to challenge you downhill. I mean, athletically, lengthwise, they're – probably as good as anybody out there. And that's something that, once again, some of the similar storylines of rebounding and just being able to contain them when they try to get downhill on you is something you got to be able to do. And Illinois' transition defense was bad tonight in some stretches. So that's something that with Texas you got to be able to figure out. So it's going to be a heck of a battle. It's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, Dylan Mitchell's a 5-star. They got DeSue down there. Christian Bishop are high energy, like, just long, twitchy, athletic guy. I mean, it's a really athletic team. It's a great coach in Chris Beard. And tonight was a lot of fun. Some really good basketball. And let's run it again on Tuesday.
Love it. Let's freaking go. I'm still saying it. Like, this is really fun basketball to watch. How's the East Coast treating you, Derek, before we let you go?
I consider getting a crab cake because, you know, Maryland's what Maryland's known for. But it said market price, so you got to check what that is. I said, so how much is the crab cake? It's like $37. I'm like, oh, we're not eating crab cake. So
too much.
But other than that, it's been good. I mean, getting in this building, realizing it's Big Ten play again, and you can just feel the energy out here. Like going into the, you know, on the outside where people are getting out to restaurants and the buzz about the game that was on tonight and being out here, it was fun. It's a lot of fun. So yeah.
Big Ten's better when Maryland's good, right? Like the Maryland just adds a lot to this league when they're good.
Yeah, they definitely do. But early flight this morning, got out here, got settled, got a little nap in, and we're ready to go see Imani Hansberry tomorrow.
He's
in the house tonight, and Andy Olson and I are going to check out Imani Hansberry, and really excited to see Illini commit in action.
Well, tell Andy how much. Ask him how much I owe him. I still need to owe him a little bit of money for this trip. But Joey Wagner and I will meet you out there, Derek. Thank you as always for the time. Get some sleep, man.
Look forward to it. Safe travels to you guys, and I'll see you in New York.
All right, everybody, thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcast. Check us out on YouTube as well, and check out all our content at IlliniInquirer.com. Derek will have plenty from the East Coast, and Joey Wagner and I will meet him out there soon. Everybody, take care of each other. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.